This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Thank you for being with us. Straight out to the courthouse, standing by Lauren Conlon, investigative reporter and host of Pop Crime TV. Lauren, thank you for being with us. You've been in the courtroom all day. What happened? Start at the beginning.
Nancy, we heard testimony from Capricorn Clark, and she was Diddy's personal assistant at one point. She was a global marketing manager, a brand ambassador, and also was Cassie Ventura's brand marketing manager. And she worked on and off for Diddy from 2004 up until 2018. And her testimony, Nancy, was very powerful. She has witnessed a lot of different incidents, and she was the assistant that Diddy kidnapped at gunpoint to allegedly go and, quote, kill Kid Cudi. And these are words from Capricorn Clark herself on the stand. She was awoken at 5 or 6 a.m., and it was Diddy at her door. She said he had a gun. He came into her house, and he told her that they were going to go and kill Kid Cudi. Not only that, Nancy, she talked about how one of her friends had a baby with Suge Knight, and on her first day, Diddy brought her into Central Park after 9 p.m. with a bodyguard and basically said that he would have to kill her if anything happened when it came to Suge. She also testified that she witnessed him talking to 50 Cent's manager in an elevator, and this is someone named Chris Lighty, who was also his manager at the time. They were doing some kind of MTV press thing, and in the elevator, he had a problem with 50 Cent, and he told his manager, I don't like this back and forth. I prefer guns. She testified that she got alopecia from stress, from working from 8 a.m. to 4 a.m., and at one point, she testified that she went to HR about overtime, and the HR person calculated about $80,000 that she was owed in overtime, and Capricorn Clark testified that he ripped it up. Now, some of the most heart-wrenching testimony that she gave today was after the Kid Cudi incident, when she was at Sean Combs' house with Cassie Ventura. She testified that he kicked Cassie over and over and over again until she was on the ground in a fetal position. And she said that each time he would kick her, Cassie would take a few steps back. And they started this, he started this beatdown in the house, and they ended up on the street. And she testified that she, you know, she called different bodyguards when the bodyguard on duty wasn't doing anything. And she said, you know, help her, help her. And then when Diddy finally kicked her out of the house that day, she called Regina Ventura, and she was very tearful on the stand when she said this. She said, he is beating the living crap out of your daughter, and I'm paraphrasing, and she said, I can't do anything. I am in over my head. You need to do something. And it was, I mean, the jury was, I could tell, they were writing things down. They were on the edge of their seat. It was very, very dramatic, Nancy.
Lauren Conlon joining us at the courthouse. So, first of all, Capricorn says that working for Diddy was making her go bald. She was losing her hair.
Yes, she said that she developed a condition called alopecia, and the doctor basically said you need less stress in your life to try to manage this.
Is it true, Lauren, that according to her sworn testimony, that Sean Combs fired her for not ratting out Cassie dating Kid Cudi?
Yes, she describes being terminated multiple times. At one point in 2004, she said she was briefly terminated over a girlfriend Diddy had. And then in 2012, she was terminated over Cassie. But she said that the excuse they used was that she didn't get a vacation authorized or something like that. But really, she knew it was because of Cassie.
Capricorn Clark says on the stand, quote, I lost everything. And she is talking about all of her employment benefits, like her 401k, her health insurance, all down the crapper. And isn't it true that Combs, according to her, used the infamous words, you'll never work in this town again. All these people aren't your friends. And that he would make her kill herself?
He said that she'd never work in this town again. And she actually testified that she was able to land a job, and then that job fell through. And yes, at another point, when he was making threats to her, she said there was something like 50 threats between the incident with Kid Cudi up until she was fired, which is a few months later. She said there was about 50 different threats. And yes, one of them was, you know, I hope you kill yourself or something along those lines.
According to the testimonies we are hearing it from the witness stand, he said, Sean Combs said that he would make her kill herself. And then in a later conversation, he says he's quizzing her, Capricorn Clark, about what she knew regarding Ventura's relationship with Kid Cudi, questioning exactly what she knew and when she knew it. He gets angry, of course, and says, quote, I should kill you bitches.
Yes, and she also described something that, to me, it was out of a horror movie, but when she was in the car and Diddy was inside Kid Cudi's house with a security guard or an associate, she said that she made a call to Cassie's burner phone. And after she called Cassie on this burner number, she quickly changed it to her friend's name. And when Diddy got back in the car and she hung up, he said, who are you on the phone with? And she said, my friend. He took her phone and he called the number back and he realized it was Cassie. And she said that he was angrier than he was even showing up to her house that night, and she was terrified.
Another thing that we learned from Capricorn Clark on the stand, a longtime Diddy protege, is that, these are her words, not mine, after the Kid Cudi incident, following the break-in, when Sean Combs goes in to his love rival's apartment and starts opening up Chanel gift bags from under the Christmas tree to see what he was going to give Cassie for Christmas, Capricorn Clark tells the court that after that, Combs, quote, came at Cassie 100% full force, 100% full force, kicking her while she crouched, getting more and more in a fetal position, Cassie crying, and Combs kicking her over and over and over. Is that right?
Yes, that was so difficult to hear in the courtroom. Let me tell you, that was tough. And that was when she testified that Cassie would be crying, taking a few steps back as he would kick her, and they wound up in the street, starting from the house. Now, Capricorn Clark, by the way, she also testified about an incident where she was at one of his homes, I believe it was his Miami home, and she made a comment, she was exhausted, something like in front of the chef, you know, she said, I hate it here. And the chef told this to Diddy, and Diddy freaked out, and she described him using 70% of his force to shove her in the shoulders all the way back out of his house. She described herself being shoved about 30 yards back through the butler door from the kitchen. And he just said, you know, get the F out, get the F out.
Now, she also stated that she did not personally intervene when Ventura was taking these beatings because she was convinced Combs would then turn on her and beat her the same way.
He actually said that. He said something like, you know, don't even think about it or I'm going to open this up on you.
How was the courtroom reacting to Capricorn Clark's testimony?
I mean, it was intense. You could hear a pin drop. I saw the jury's faces going back to the lawyer, back to Capricorn Clark, and then just writing things down. I mean, I have to say that this testimony, in my opinion, was one of the strongest that we've heard thus far. She was so credible and so disturbed. And, you know, but she also had this thing about her where she would say, you know, it's complicated. And it was very genuine. She was genuinely scared. She felt genuinely trapped. And these are her words, but you could also see it coming out in her emotions. And everything she said about the night that she got kidnapped, you kind of could imagine yourself being in her position because she was just very detailed in her storytelling, and nothing seemed to waver. She was very confident. She remembered everything. And if she didn't, you know, she would be upfront about it and forthright. She was very cooperative. And again, just, I mean, it was emotional. It was emotional and it was scary.
Didn't she also testify, Lauren Conlon, that Sean Combs actually held her, Capricorn Clark, hostage until Cassie Ventura would come over after the Kid Cudi incident?
So she described after they left Kid Cudi's house, they stopped at this club and Sean Combs got out of the car. She stayed in the car and he instructed her to call Cassie and tell Cassie that if she doesn't come to Sean Combs' house that he would not let Capricorn Clark go. And so Clark said that Cassie appeared very, very calm in demeanor on the phone, and she said, I'll be right there.
Joining us, in addition to Lauren Conlon from Pop Crime TV, standing by at the courthouse, a full panel of experts, straight out to Greg Morse, veteran criminal defense attorney at Morse Legal, author of The Untested on Amazon. You know, Morse, you keep saying over and over, it's like the chorus of a hymn at a Methodist church. We're singing it again and again. You keep saying, yes, they've proven he's a horrible, vile, despicable person, but have they proven sex trafficking or criminal enterprise? Can you actually say with a straight face that all of these employees doing his bidding for criminal reasons does not equal a criminal enterprise?
Yeah, it doesn't equal a criminal enterprise as to how he's charged. He's charged with running a criminal enterprise to commit sex trafficking by force or coercion. These people testified again to acts that are horrible. Okay, so they had to undergo a lie detector. What does that have to do with a criminal enterprise? The main part of the government's case that's missing is their first witness.
Car bombing someone's car, breaking into his house, beating someone if they won't do a freak-off. All those are crimes.
Well, there's no evidence that Cassie was beaten so she would do a freak off. She actually said the opposite. That's all my point is, that all of these facts, the explosion of the car, none of that has been linked to force, fraud, or coercion to force Cassie Ventura into sex trafficking. She actually said the opposite. What makes it difficult and why the defense is probably not going to win is they have to defend so many horrible acts. They have to defend an arson, a car bomb, even though he wasn't charged. And no matter what you say about that, it takes its toll on the jury against the defendant. But in this particular case, there's been no evidence still that this is all done to sex traffic. What it sounds like to me is Sean Combs made music. He wanted to live the lifestyle that he and his artists rapped about, but he's just not that type of guy. So he pretended to be a tough guy. And that's all he is a pretend tough guy. And that's what this evidence shows.
I'm so tempted to cut your mic, but I want to see your face when I read what is in the 5-count indictment. Prosecutors state that Combs, quote, relied on employees, resources, and influence of a multifaceted business, creating an enterprise whose members and associates engaged in, among other things, sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and obstruction. We have the arson of Kid Cudi's car. He had someone create a Molotov cocktail and throw it. Obstruction, bribery occurred, and that guy's caught on video. The guy that answered the call at the Intercontinental Hotel, he tried to bribe him with a big stack of money. We've heard that testimony on the stand. Forced labor. You've just heard what Capricorn Clark testified to, along with other assistants. The state is making out the RICO case right there. Well, when you have employees and you use your business resources like your credit card or your employees or your accountant to send an extortion threat to Cassie's mother, we heard about last week, the accountant did that and gave instructions on how to wire the blackmail money, for Pete's sake. He's using his business employees, his business resources to effect crimes. That's what a criminal enterprise is.
But it's not just any crime. They charged it as sex trafficking. You can't just have, maybe it's his purpose was to sell drugs. His purpose was to steal identities. You can say anything based on these.
Lynn Shaw. I still hear him. Why is that happening? Lynn Shaw joining me, founder director of Lynn's Warriors, dedicated to ending sex trafficking. Could you take Greg Morse to school now on sex trafficking?
Let me tell you something, Greg. This is the prime example of how many lawyers and the justice system do not understand what victims, survivors of this exploitation and years of it go through. This is the biggest problem we have when we're in the courts. Nobody understands vulnerable people. I don't care what they said in text messages, what they say out loud. They're not understanding the psychological damage and how people play out, these victims of all of this. This is being laid out for a criminal enterprise, Triple D, because I'm naming him now Dirty Diddy Degenerate as of today, is part of a whole crime syndicate. I don't know, forced labor. I mean, that's part of human trafficking. This is going to be a RICO case, okay? Laying out all of this. I am tired of everybody not understanding about the victims and survivors. I'm tired of everybody defending these criminals, or I guess I'm supposed to say alleged criminals, but everybody, and Greg included, come on now, come to the Warrior School and let me teach you about victims and survivors, because we have to change this all up right now.
It was Memorial Day this past weekend, and I don't know what you did, but I know what Diddy did. Sean Combs behind bars. Listen.
Diddy rings in his first Memorial Day behind bars, a far cry from his days of throwing Ciroc-sponsored yacht parties. Sean Combs may have celebrated the long weekend with some friendly cell block competition. Inmates allowed to play 3-on-3 basketball. Board games, spades, or dominoes. Combs enjoyed fruit and cereal for breakfast, barbecue chicken with mac and cheese and a holiday dessert for lunch, and chicken and rice with whole wheat bread for dinner.
Barbecue chicken, board games, friendly cell block competition, 3-on-3, mac and cheese, holiday dessert. Lynn Shaw, while he is living the life in his dorm style unit, how do you think those women that were allegedly drugged in their drinks, stripped, raped, and sodomized on video, and then later that video was held over their heads for extortion, according to the prosecution, how do you think they feel about Diddy, King Sean Combs, king of the cell block, getting served barbecue chicken and playing 3-on-3 and having a special holiday dessert?
You know what, Nancy? I am so embarrassed that all of these victims, you know, all of these survivors have to hear about this. What happened to the good old days where you had to scrub out the cells and clean the toilets and things like that? You know, wash the floors with a toothbrush. This is what this guy deserves, because all of these victims, and I'm going to remind everybody, a lot of them have never come forward. They'd rather just disappear, forget about it. They're too scared. So you know what? I don't care. Give them bad tuna fish. Let him get, you know, some food poisoning. We can't focus on this. Let us keep our focus again on victims and survivors. I don't care. He should get nothing, nothing, nothing. He should be doing some sort of community service within the jail or something. I don't want to hear about his macaroni and cheese and his barbecue chicken. That's a lot
with
more food
a toothbrush.
Than other people.
Are you kidding,
yes.
Lynn Shaw?
Yes.
Because tonight we're learning exactly how badly he trashed his hotel rooms. Listen.
Former assistant George Kaplan testifies no one specifically instructed him to clean up Frank Black's hotel rooms, but Kaplan did not trust hotel staff with Combs' privacy and felt it was his responsibility to protect his boss's public image. Kaplan says he would pick up empty bottles of baby oil, liquor, and Gatorade, and occasionally get rid of drugs ahead of cleaning staff arriving to make sure no one learned anything about the mogul he didn't want them to know.
And that is why, to renowned psychoanalyst joining us out of L.A., Dr. Bethany Marshall, this weekend I invested in a hotel Diddy stick. Why? Because Sean Combs would have his employees, his assistants, go wade through all that baby oil, bodily fluids, that sperm, sweat, and more. Think about it. Rape, sodomy, people drinking, people doing drugs, Sean Combs sitting back, talking on the phone and masturbating during all of this, directing the whole thing. Then he would, after all of that, and everybody goes home, the assistants would have to come in and clean up because they did not want Sean Combs' image tarnished. So what does that mean to me, Dr. Bethany Marshall? That means that before I go to the Hermitage or I go to the Intercontinental, I'm taking my hotel Diddy wand. My Diddy stick can pick up all of those germs and clean it with ultraviolet rays. I didn't put any stock into this until I started investigating this case. And so then they would go, Dr. Bethany, he'd make the assistants go and like fluff the pillows and arrange them so the future guests and the hotel employees would come in and not know what had just happened. You think Nancy. I'm going to go sit on a sofa in that hotel room? No. H-E-L-L-N-O. Neither me or the twins are sitting on that sofa after Diddy's had a freak off in there. They can fluff the pillows all they want to.
I'm never going to look at a hotel room in the same way again. I'm never going to lie on a comforter cover. I will never go stay at the Four Seasons or the Intercontinental, which, by the way, is just down the road from my Beverly Hills office. You know, Nancy, he abused everybody on every level. Even the making people go in and clean up all these bodily fluids is yet another form of abuse. He abused in every single way.
Why do you keep saying bodily fluids? I mean, you're an L.A. psychoanalyst. Certainly, you've had to say the words sperm, urine, feces, sweat. You know what? Whoa. Listen.
Friedrich Zimmer, the manager of L'Hermitage Hotel in Beverly Hills, discussed Sean Combs' history of reservations. Combs opened an account in 2006, but 3 years later, the name was changed to Jackie Starr, then Frank White, then Frank Black, and Ryan Lopez. The notes stayed the same. Number one, monitor outside the room to spray air freshener. Number two, place the room out of order upon departure for deep cleaning. Always spills candle wax on everything and uses excessive amounts of oil. And number three, please authorize an extra $1,000 at check-in to cover room damages.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Robert Crispin joining me, former homicide, former federal task force officer, U.S. Department of Justice, blah, 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 blah. Now, Crispin Special Investigations. Crispin, you know what? I go right up to that jury and I would show them the hotel notes. Just wait a minute. It says it all. And then case closed. Monitor outside the room to spray air freshener. These are in the notes when Sean Combs would check into the L'Hermitage. Place room out of order upon Combs' departure for deep, deep cleaning. Always in caps. Always. Yeah, let's look at him. Always spills candle wax on everything and uses excessive amounts of oil. And please authorize an extra $1,000 at check-in to cover room damages. Okay, you need to go out and get one of these. Okay, I'm telling you, because this thing lights up and it catches all of Sean Combs' bodily fluids that he left on those sofas before he made his assistant fluff the pillows. I mean, that states exhibit number one right there. That's disgusting.
Yeah, so that's some pretty damning evidence when you have handwritten notes about certain things to do. And I'm sure back here at his house here on Star Island in Miami Beach, this was a plethora of that activity here, and I can only imagine the cleanup for this size of house versus a hotel room. Quite the difference.
And so, Greg Morse, you're telling me I can't even imagine the Pandora's box of germs behind Robert Crispin and that Miami mansion, which was also subject to a raid. Greg Morse, so you're telling me that Sean Combs' employees willingly cleaned up his bodily fluids. That's like putting perfume on the pig. His sperm, his sweat, victims, bodily fluids after rape and sodomy.
It was their job. They were paid to do that. That was literally their job.
They got paid by the company to clean up after the freak-offs, which is using the company's resources to further criminal enterprise.
In and of itself. This is an ad for using a Motel 6 instead of a high-end hotel. This is not illegal in and of itself, as long as Cassie and the other people keep saying, I did this consensually. Maybe I didn't like it. She literally said that. In fact, one of the sex workers even said, Cassie paid me, and she seemed fine. So you're taking information that, frankly, a lot
she
of people
seemed
were means.
Fine. She seemed fine, Dr.
Rooms.
Bethany Marshall, because she would be beaten out of her gourd if she didn't.
She seemed fine, Nancy, because she was dissociated, and he was keeping her addicted. She tried to go to rehab 5 different times, and he kept bringing her back. Nancy, this was a reign of terror. This is so much more than a criminal enterprise. guys. This is like a sex cult. And Nancy, there's a drug that has not been mentioned at all that I can hear. And that is steroids, if we can think of that as a drug. He puts so much energy into terrorizing, kidnapping, spilling bodily fluids all over the place. And it puts a lot of all that energy and all that rage seems to me like he's roided out most of the time.
Cassie says Combs wanted her glistening at all times and had her reapply heated baby oil as often as every 5 minutes. And during one performance, even made her get into a kiddie pool of baby oil. Afterwards, staff members were charged with cleaning up, but with baby oil and bodily fluids all over the floors, walls, and door handles, Combs was frequently charged for damages to hotel rooms, negotiations handled by Combs' assistants.
Dirty Diddy disciples.
Diddy was menacing, threatening, intimidating.
And it's influence, and it's his power that controlled them.
They are terrified of him.
It's Diddy's world, and we're all just living in it. Not. Joining us tonight, a very special guest, known by many as, quote, the Punisher. That's a moniker. His real name, Sheree Hayes. Mr. Hayes, thank you for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Hayes, when did you first learn that your former client, Sean Combs, had been indicted in a multi-count federal indictment for sex trafficking?
Yeah, I was contacted probably about 3 or 4 months prior to the charges actually coming about. Believe it or not, I had a lighthearted conversation initially with the federal investigators that...
I find that very hard to believe. The feds had a lighthearted conversation. What do you mean by that?
Well, I was told that I was one of hundreds of people that were being interviewed. They were just doing their due diligence. And, you know, it was a brief, they just wanted a brief summary of what my interactions was. Me personally, I never thought my involvement was significant. So I kind of just said, hey guys, I don't really have much for you. I was in state. I understood trafficking had to be an out-of-state scenario. And I also told them that I didn't see any aggression, any physical abuse, anything to that degree. So I was kind of unaware of my involvement. So the conversation was brief, about 20 minutes at my apartment. And I never even thought I would hear from anybody again.
Well, I've got a question. If everything was normal and your job with Sean Combs, your sex job with him was just like every other job, then why did you lose your erection and couldn't perform?
Well, like every other job is out of context. I was a male stripper, so sex work wasn't something that I did for a living. So it was completely out of my zone to be in a scenario with a woman who at the time I thought it was her husband, being in a room, being a part of a sexual activity, especially in the scenario that I described. He had on a burqa, a veil over his face.
He's okay, I want to see his face, please. Whoa. Do you prefer to be called Sheree, Mr. Hayes, or the Punisher?
Believe it or not, I'm called all three on a daily basis, so I'm fine with any either one.
I'm going to go with Mr. Hayes. Mr. Hayes,
that works.
Could you repeat what you just said about the burqa? And I'm going to get back to your lack of erection in a moment. I'm not letting that go. I got to nail that down because you say, oh, it was just business as usual. But I bet you don't lose your erection every time you perform, right? Is that like a hazard of the job? But first, back to the burqa.
Yeah, so it's obviously seeing an adult male in a burqa is not something that is normal. It was surprising when he first came out. And remember, I have no idea who they are at this point. And when it's framed to me, Ms. Ventura told me, we're going to set this scene, we're going to do oil, and my husband's eventually going to walk out. And so when he comes out with
what do you mean by that?
New,
we're going to do oil.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you're remember my testimony, but the way.
No, I've never been to a freak off.
No, not the freak off. My testimony. And my testimony,
okay, what does it mean to do oil?
It's like a mutual massage. The freak off started off the same way where we did a mutual individual massage. We put oil on ourselves and then oil on each other, which led to sexual activity.
Okay. So you did oil. Can we get back to the burqa? Because a traditional burqa involves a conservative Muslim female being covered in a dark material from head to wrist to toe. But isn't it true Mr. Combs only wore a burqa from the neck up, from the neck down? He was buck naked.
That is correct. That is correct. That is the situation I found myself in. It was very odd. It made it difficult to concentrate and to focus. So I'm sure you can see how that leads to an erection malfunction.
An erection malfunction. Okay, I'm totally stealing that. You had an erection malfunction. Okay.
Erection malfunction. Yeah.
Back to the burqa. So at that time, you had no idea it was Combs sitting over there with a burqa from here up, right?
No idea. I thought it was just this beautiful woman's husband, that they were into some sort of fetish, and I was not expecting them to walk out in that attire. Not at all.
What was Burqa Man doing during that session?
Well, he was set up in a table across the room where he would pace back and forth to kind of get an angle of however he wanted to view. He would give subtle directions.
Repeat. What? I'm making a note here. What did you just say about an angle?
He was positioned across the room, and he would kind of pace back and forth to look at us on the couches from different angles. And based on those angles, he would give
instructions. You know why that's important, Mr. Hayes? That's important because that echoes. I've been very lighthearted up until this point, but, you know, I'm a crime victim. And many of the crime victims in this case have stated that they would be drugged in their drinks or some other way, and they would wake up the next morning and their vaginas and their rear ends would be hurting, right? And then they would be shown a video of the freak-off and threatened that if they ever went public about it, that video would be released. Now, we've also heard reports that Combs would go to different angles to get the best angle, positioning the woman's limbs to get the best angle for the rape. Now what you're saying echoes that. And I bet you had no idea that other women have said that. And now you, Mr. Hayes, AKA the Punisher, you are corroborating what these other witnesses and or victims are saying. That's very critical in my mind, because you may know this. A lot of times, defense attorneys like Greg Morse, they make a very, very good living out of discrediting sex attack victims. But a way to bolster a sex attack victim's testimony is through testimony like what you just said. Because, see, when we take a home video, my husband, David, he doesn't go from angle to angle trying to get the best angle. I mean, I'm like, if you'll turn the phone on correctly. So that's very interesting that mirrors behavior other victims have said. Now, let me get back to, the burqa. So you're in there, and during that session, let me put it euphemistically, Sean Combs is going from angle to angle trying to get the best angle. What else, if anything, did he do?
He's also pleasuring himself. He's holding a bottle of Astroglide. He's masturbating, and he's giving, again, subtle instructions to Miss Ventura in terms
like
of
what?
Moving candles. Like mostly based on the lighting, the candles in the room, and the position of her body and mine in conjunction to our touching each other and the oil plate.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Mr. Hayes, thank you for being with us. You know what? If you could you be specific? You stated that Sean Combs directed Cassie Ventura to move her body. Those were your words. What exactly did he ask her to do?
In this occasion, it was nothing overtly sexual. It was all based on angles to see, lighting, and just a massage. You know, my testimony is about the first interaction. There was no actual sex in terms of oral or penetrative. It was just kind of like a mutual massage. And it wrapped up at that point.
Okay, so you got paid a lot of money to give somebody a massage. Did you ever actually have sex, or as you said, penetration of Cassie Ventura?
Yes. In a later circumstance.
Did Sean Combs direct her regarding any movement of her limbs, as you first said?
No, there was no direction in regards to sex itself.
Just moving candles to get a better angle? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Candles for lighting on our bodies, and then sometimes the positioning of her in conjunction to me. He never said a word to me. Everything was directed at Miss Ventura. Based on, like I said, these subtle cues or directions.
Mm-hmm. Were you dressed up in any particular outfit?
I was not. I was instructed to just come out in a towel, nude with just a towel. I would always begin in a towel.
Later, you stated that it became difficult for you to maintain focus under Combs's stare. Is that true?
Yes. Like I stated earlier, it was always a discomfort having a woman's partner in a room. Once I did realize who they were.
Wait, please, are you telling me you've never done a threesome before? Not according to your resume, man.
Not with two guys. Two guys and a girl is considered a train. Two guys.
So you got sick of Combs directing you and staring at you. And last question. Did you ever see one of these?
No. I. My,
anything like it? Let me unwrap it. Anything like that on the scene?
There was a conscious effort for my peripheral vision to stay above the neckline, so I have no Halloween.
So you know, I'm talking about Combs' penis.
Oh, I've seen the clips. Yeah, I'm quite sure what you're referring to, and I cannot corroborate those facts, unfortunately, for your
just a midge.
I cannot cooperate.
Nice to meet you.
One bit. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
You got it.
Sean Diddy Combs has quite the extensive beauty routine. Mogul's favorite products are very high-end, including the new Face Trinity Facial Trainer that uses microcurrents and red light therapy for anti-aging treatments, on sale for a cool $595. Combs wears by Natura Bisse products, their $155 C+C vitamin cream in his bathroom counter in raid photos. The NARS Optimal Brightening Cream, also in Combs' arsenal, retailing at $80.
Luxury choices, including Sean John Cologne. Sean Combs' skincare essentials are Laneige Radiancy Cream, Way Scalp Scrub, Mario Badescu's line, and Quality Sheet Mask, Witch Hazel, Hemp's Lotion, Exotics Aftershave Cream, Miel Hair Oil, and Shea Moisture Body Scrub.
Good luck getting your mitts on that in the pen, Sean Combs. And we have obtained some video of the many, many beauty treatments that Sean Combs enjoys. This is from Diddy's official Instagram. What about it, Lynn Shaw? Did you see that facial? And was he actually getting a facial on his feet too, Lynn Shaw?
I was so focused on that big foot. I'm disgusted. You know what, Dr. Bethany, please book me a session when we're done here so I can come to you for a cleansing of Triple D, because I feel sick. And you know why I feel sick, everybody? Because I keep thinking about all of the victims of Dirty Diddy, what they must be thinking while they're seeing all this. And on top of it, let me tell you, I had to throw out my Way shampoo and conditioner today because I saw it was on his list and I want nothing to do with him. And I wasted a lot of money doing that. But when all is said and done, I'm going to go back like a broken record. We got to remain focused on victims and survivors and listening to them and empowering them at the same time. Because this, I can't look at him anymore.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, what about please. It, guys? You're seeing Diddy's official Instagram pages. Bethany?
Nancy, he's just getting himself ready for sex. That's what he's doing. And a sex addict like him has to have greater and greater stimulation to achieve sexual arousal. So what is he going to do? He's going to have women, I don't know, massaging him all the time, the baby oil, everything that we heard from the Punisher. It's like P. Diddy was... he was like pushing the envelope. So if this is the testimony we've heard in court thus far, I'm a little frightened to hear what else might have been going on behind the scenes, because all of that moving bodies
limbs. You're right, Dr. Bethany. Sydney Sumner with me, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Sydney, it's, you know, almost laughable to watch him getting his facial and his pedicure and all of that, getting manscaped. But we're talking about sex trafficking, and we had Capricorn Clark on the stand throughout the day today describing losing her hair, crying, being beaten, being held hostage, and more. That's what we don't want to forget.
No, and it's hard to, Nancy. That testimony was scary. I mean, I cannot imagine starting a job and on my first day being taken to the secluded park, sat down by my boss and saying, you know, you didn't tell me you used to work for Suge Knight. So if that becomes a problem, we're going to have to kill you. I mean, can you imagine? Within hours of being hired to start this job, you receive a death threat. And this continued for most of her employment. She suffered physical harm from Combs when he shoved her out of his house for making an offhanded comment about, I hate it here. Combs had yelled at her for leaving the property after telling her to leave the property, and she was upset. So she made an offhanded comment to another employee who turned around and told Combs what she said, and he shoved her out of his house physically, not to mention that he held her hostage for 5 days straight until she passed a polygraph that she had not stolen jewelry from him. And that's not the first time he had held her hostage. That's three separate occasions that we've heard about just on the stand today.
You know, Sydney Sumner, you and Lauren Collin are getting totally stressed out by reporting on all the abuse that's been heaped on others by Sean Combs, allegedly. I think you need to go book yourself a stay at the L'Hermitage or the Intercontinental, but you're going to need one of these. I'm pretty sure in case you get a room that Diddy's been in. We wait as justice unfolds and as evidence pours from the witness stand. And we remember an American hero, police officer David Lee, St. Louis Metropolitan Police, hit and killed in the line of duty. Served 18 years and leaves behind a wife turned widow, Tanya, their 23-year-old son, and an 18-year-old daughter. American hero, police officer David Lee. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.